directors, but we're going to kind of touch base for all the different positions. Just primarily so that we all know what the positions are, and so if we need to go to that person, we understand who it is we need to go to for whatever situation. I want to start off with the mission of Copper Basin Bible Camp. What is the mission of this camp? Well, the mission is really about spiritual growth. It's about giving our young people in particular, but all of us, a space where we can see a little bit of God's beauty, God's creation, and an environment where people can experience that, but also an environment that's particularly very much like the church itself, where it's about growing, about spiritually growing. Can we go to the next slide? One more. Thank you. And as stated on the slides here, and a lot of this I'm going to read the slides and maybe elaborate a little bit, because I want to make sure we cover all the points here. Point number one, to provide a summer camp for children in which they can grow in Christ through study of God's Word and interaction with other campers in the setting of God's natural creation. Number two, to provide activities to bring together congregations from around the valley and across the state to promote fellowship and unity among the churches of Christ. Let's move on to the safety and spiritual welfare, the responsibilities of all of us, okay? Safety and spiritual welfare of the campers is our first and foremost concern. Every staff member must strive in every way to follow Christ, okay? The camper should be urged to follow his or her example as he or she follows Christ. That, in essence, should be our personal goal. It's not about putting, it's not about a particular set of activities or meeting a particular set of people or whatever. It's really Christianity at its core is each of us following Christ. All counselors, unless otherwise released by the director, must be present and or participate in all camp activities. All right. Sometimes counselors, we can get into this mindset, the director's taking charge of this, and we don't really have to pay attention. We can just sit in the back or go off and do something else. No, as counselors, you are there to also grow and be a part of the activities, and that is in particular, that would be Bible studies that maybe the director's in charge of. All staff members are expected to fill the job descriptions and the specific tasks assigned to them. The director is responsible for communicating to the staff their assignments and camp schedule. Okay. All staff members must demonstrate flexibility and patience as specific tasks and expectations may change during the course of the week due to varying schedule demands. The servant spirit is essential for a successful weekend. Sometimes we want things to go a particular way, we want to do a particular activity, and sometimes the weather or the director or whoever just has a change of mind or can't be done at this particular time, so we need to be able to be, especially as counselors, you are the feet on the ground for the campers, okay? We need to be able to be flexible, okay? And how we adjust to change makes a big impression one way or another on those campers. So we want to exude the flexibility and the patience of Christ himself. Next, please. Staff responsibilities and roles. A key function in each staff of each staff member is to establish relationships with the campers. Each staff member must watch for the campers who is on the fringe of activities and encourage their involvement. Okay. As counselors, you guys are really the ones that are going to be getting, let's say, close or intimate with the campers, right? We as directors, we're not going to have that one-on-one relationship where we're with them all the time like you are. So a big part of what you're doing is just building a relationship, right? Especially for the kids that are, I mean, not the cool kids necessarily, right? Especially for the kids that are maybe who don't have any friends there, right? We want to be a bridge toward making every child feel valued and like this, like we really care about them. Second paragraph. Physical contact with staff members or campers must always be appropriate. Wise caution should be used in physical contact with a camper. We'll talk more about that a little later. What is appropriate? Think about what is appropriate as far as physical contact with them. No staff member may be alone with any camper. All one-on-one activities must occur where they can be clearly seen by others and also be viewed by others. So if you need to pull somebody aside to talk to them, you need to be within view of other people. All right, this is for a variety of reasons. Consequences for inappropriate behavior will be decided and administered by the camp director. Okay, so if somebody is misbehaving or inappropriate activities, okay, it needs to be dealt with the director. It needs to be brought to the director's attention. And the director is the law, right? He is the one that is going to be ultimately responsible for the good or the bad. So we need to be going to them and telling them what issues might be going on. If there's a struggle between campers or whatever it is, I mean, use your wisdom. Don't tell them every little thing that goes on. But if it looked like it could be a bigger issue, please bring it to the director's attention. Okay, and all staff members are responsible for identifying broken rules and appropriate behaviors that give information to the camp director. However, all staff members are authorized to immediately stop any actions which endanger a camper's health or safety. Okay, again, overarching principles, health and safety of the campers. If somebody is climbing up a tree and it needs to be addressed, you have the responsibility to make sure that they are safe, okay? Okay, next. Primary interactions between campers and staff will be found in the counselor-camper relationship, okay? The counselors will often function with the director to help a camper change behavior, okay? I.e., female counselors will be asked to tell female campers to change inappropriate clothing, and male counselors will be responsible for telling the male campers to change inappropriate clothing. Again, you guys are the front line of helping them maybe change their behavior or understanding where they are going and helping them grow spiritually. All staff members must abide by the rules of the camp. By accepting a position at camp, each staff member commits to abide by and uphold the policies of the camp set forth in this handbook. Okay. All staff must exhibit a positive attitude in words and actions. Criticism and complaints must be given only to those who can do something about the problem. All right. Sometimes we can get into a nagging session or a whatever you want to call it, a session where we're just complaining about, oh, we didn't get to do this, or this didn't happen, or whatever it is, right? We need to be able to, and this is going to serve you as an adult. Nobody wants to be around people who just complain, right? We want to be people that are solution-oriented, right? Christ-oriented, toward bringing something better in this world. So that means positive attitude. We have plenty of people already complaining about plenty of things already. We don't need to be contributing to that. The responsibilities of a director. Full responsibility and administration of camp policies rest with the camp director of each session. The camp director will establish a daily schedule. Visitors need to check in with the camp director after they check in with the caretakers. The director will promote unity among campers and the congregations they represent. Worship activities will be conducted in a way that all campers can participate with a clear conscience. No camper's personal convictions will be questioned, ridiculed, or made fun of because if she or she is not comfortable with the practices of others. Instrumental music, whether live or recorded, will be limited to activities of a secular or recreational nature. Any policy questions about activities, events, and applications of policies given this handbook can be directed first to the director, then to the board of directors if needed. Okay, I'm going to tell you the way I see the responsibility of a director, and I think this is the responsibility of all of us, church elders and ministers, is that we have, as Paul says, that he has authority for building each other up in Christ. That's where our authority is. If a director or whoever is encouraging us to do something that is anti-Christ or is not of that spirit, I believe we don't have to do that. Okay, but at the same time, you also got to remember that your directors have more maturity than you, and they're hopefully looking for your own spiritual growth and the camper's spiritual growth. So the law of Christ is what Jesus says in John 15:12, to love one another as I have loved you. That means the law of Christ is about us growing to be more like him. Which means we value people. We value people the way he did. Next, counselors and junior counselors. Same thing. We're all responsible for growth, for spiritual growth. Counselors are responsible for knowing where his or her campers are at all times and able to tell the camp director on any occasion where the camper is. All right? So if there's a camper missing, as a director, I'm going to ask you, where is that camper? You need to know where he is, she is. All right? You need to have an accounting. Right? If you're just sitting on the couch in the hay while there's other activities going on and you do not know where your counselors are or your campers are, I'm not going to be very happy. Right? So we really need you to be knowing where they are. You're also responsible for making sure the campers are on time for the activities. And that they are dressed appropriately. Okay. If there's an injury or an illness of any camper or counselor, it must be reported to the MA, the Camp Medical Advisor, immediately. doesn't have to go to me necessarily as a director, but it needs to go to, but it should be noted to the director, but first to the medical assistant. Counselors are required to attend Bible classes. We talked about that already. Next. You're responsible to be there around 2 p.m., say at 2 p.m. on Sunday, and then leave at until noon on Friday. Unless you happen to have made a special arrangement with your director. And counselors, you are supposed to be a role model for junior counselors, right? And able to answer questions that they may have. And junior counselors, you are also held to the same standards, right? I mean, if you want to be a regular counselor at some point, and you are a junior counselor now, and you're not acting like a counselor should, we're going to have second thoughts about next year. Well, I'm not sure if this person is mature enough to be a counselor yet, right? So, be responsible with the amount of, with what you've been given, and you'll be given more. Right? And sometimes you'll be asked to, especially if you're in my group, be asked to lead songs and do devos, right, Royal? and we're gonna need you guys to participate in that sort of thing. Well, maybe not all of you, but for many of you, we need your help in leading some of these things. Bible teachers. Bible teachers should prepare the material so that the most effective transmission of God's word can take place in the camp environment. Okay? Know your subject, be enthusiastic, be sincere, calm, relaxed. Don't pretend to know all the answers. Teachers are not required to participate in the activities other than the classes that they're teaching. However, if you're a teacher, we definitely encourage you to be a part of it. The more the kids know you, connect with you, the more impact your lessons are going to have on them. For our medical assistants, medical advisors, I guess, our MAs, they are responsible for the health of all of us. All medications must be submitted to the MA at registration and will be administered by the MA. All prescription medication must be kept in the original prescription container. If you prevent possible misuse of medications by campers, counselors must leave the medications under the supervision of the MA during camp week, both prescription and over the counter. Campers are not allowed to take medicine without being in the presence of the MA. Okay? Any medication whatsoever, I believe this is even with aspirin, is that correct? And anything that a person might be taking, it has to be done under the supervision of the medical advisor. Alright? We can do nothing. Camp rules and standards of conduct. Okay. One, you can go on to the next slide. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Right? My family, that was called the golden rule. Do unto others as you have done, want done to you. Okay. Number two, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Another way of saying this is just actually care about the people we're interacting with. I may not be the best speaker, I may not be the best teacher, I may not be anything that's that great, but if I actually really care about the person, they're going to get that. And that's your job as a counselor, if you're a counselor or a director or whatever you are. Sometimes the words don't come out very well, as you might see today. But if I care about them, that almost always comes across. Number three, each camper is expected to participate in all camp activities, unless excused by the camp director, all right? We want everybody to be participating. Right? This is a 1 week, it might be the best week, the most exciting week for many of these kids that they have all year. And if they're fearful or whatever it is, or just and they're afraid to do something, or whatever it is, they just want to participate, we're here to be the environment where they can actually feel comfortable in getting on that zip line or whatever it is, right? Getting in a canoe. We want to be an environment where people can actually step into a bigger self, a bigger, more courageous self. No leaving the camp property without express permission of the camp director. Number five, no foul language. Number six, no alcohol, drugs, or tobacco of any kind. Number seven, no cell phones, MP3 players, radios, or electronic games. Number eight, no knives or weapons of any kind, no matches, lighters, or fireworks. No food in cabins. Right? Again, as a director, I'm not going to be looking into the cabins. You guys are responsible for watching all of this stuff, really. And we don't want food in the cabins for a variety of reasons. One, we don't want animals in the cabin. All right? Let alone the messes. Number 11. No personal use of the camp phone or computer. I don't think we have one available, so I don't think we can ignore that. Number 12, all injuries or illness must be reported to the medical advisor. We already talked about that. Number 13, no pets. Number 14, there must be no public display of affection between campers. No splitting off from the main group. We talked about that already. Number 15, very, very important, and if you've been to camp before, you know this. Boys are not allowed in girls' cabin, girls are not allowed in boys' cabin, period. If there's an issue with a plumbing issue or something, you grab a hold of a caretaker, and then we have a system for taking care of that. But we just can't have any exceptions with this rule. No roughhousing, practical jokes, or fighting. Okay, it's an environment of encouragement. Number 17, no defacing of camp property. Trash must be placed within trash cans. Number 18, modest dress is expected at all times. Okay, there's some specifics here. No two tops or spaghetti straps, halter tops, sleeveless shirts, bare midriffs, mesh shirts, or muscle shirts. All pants must be loose-fitting and no shorter than 4 inches above the knee. No holes in pants above the knee. No clothing with inappropriate language, designs, or insignias. No yoga pants, bike shorts, or leggings. If there's something that happens, you have a question about some of that, talk with your director. Number 20, personal hygiene rules must be observed. People need to be take showers. If somebody's got body odor or something going on that needs to be addressed, let your director know, or the MA. Number 21, personal effects and luggage may be searched in the presence of the camp director or medical advisor for illegal items, offensive items, or in an emergency situation. Number 22, Campers and everyone else must stay out of the creeks and ponds in unsupervised situations. All right. Okay. Next, guidelines for counselors and junior counselors. As counselors, you are charged with the great responsibility of leading, not driving your campers in a week of spiritual development. Okay. Sometimes people don't do what we want them to do. Right? Especially if we're a counselor and there's a camper that has this tendency to do his own thing. Right? And sometimes we get upset or angry, we want to yell at them or whatever to get back into doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay. Most of us don't respond very well when we're being commanded to do something. A much more effective way is to be a kind of person that they want to follow. Jesus says something to the effect of, the Spirit, exactly how it goes, but it's basically the idea of being led. People want to follow a good spirit. A godly spirit. You can make a week at camp one that will never be forgotten. Okay, it is possible that you will lead some young soul to a total dedication to Christ. This is a serious undertaking, and you must set the example of this if it is to be accomplished. Okay, we have to really take it seriously, and don't get me wrong, I think we need to have fun and joy with what we're doing, because that is a part of the Christian commission as far as being like Christ. But we also want to take seriously what this opportunity this week might mean for this kid. A lot of kids, you know, maybe not this last year so much, but the last year before that, they were basically stuck at home, right, all year, And some of that probably happened this last year too. We want to be an environment where we want this to be an experience, a really great experience for them. And part of that is trying to see that person and each other as God sees them. Okay. Some of the characteristics of good counselors. Okay. When agreeable, friendly, approachable, ones who can are in some ways strict. And maintain order, but actually care about them. They participate in activities with the campers. They're sympathetic and understanding. They are fair and try not to have any favorites. They are efficient in what they do. They're not bossy or conceited, and not unnecessarily severe. Sometimes we just see something going on and we react, and if we don't know the whole situation, sometimes we're more severe than we really need to be. More guidelines for counselors. The Center of Copper Basin Bible Camp is the camper. The only reason great effort is given to operate this camp. Okay? All right? Their experience is shapes where they how they look at Christianity, how they look at God, how they look at the church, and how they look at their place in this world. Right? So it's very important that we try to grasp that and make this a good experience, a positive experience for them. Abide by the camp rules, set the example for the campers, never complain about the rules, but follow them and see that your campers do the same. Right? Be an optimist in all kinds of weather, never complaining about the weather. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Work hard by yourself and with others. Being a counselor should be pleasant, but it is not a holiday. As previously stated, counselors are on duty 24/7 during camp sessions with very little downtime. I know we're asking a lot of you because you are there with them all the time as counselors. But and if you need a 5-minute break, 10-minute break to cool off or something, let your other counselors know or whoever else is there, the director or whoever, that you need a few minutes to get away. That can be understood. Health and safety consciousness is most important. Be aware of the state of your camper's health. Take all precautions to prevent accidents. Okay. Summer's coming, and if you're from Arizona, you should know this, but sometimes we forget this. We need to keep the kids and ourselves hydrated. Last year, we had a couple issues where kids were not drinking enough water, so let's make sure that's not an issue. Be courteous, unselfish, prompt, and reliable. Follow the daily schedule of activities very carefully. Be agreeable and firm, not bossy or nagging. Be friendly, but never partial. It is easy to like the likable, amusing, or talented camper. The camper with a problem is often the quiet one or the loud, annoying, and or clinging one. Okay? These kids that come here, for the most part, we don't know anything about them. We don't know what they're struggling with in their lives, what maybe their family situation is, or how the other kids are treating them at school, or whatever it is. We don't know, all right? So we want to be aware or self-conscious of how we may, whatever their situation is, be a level of encouragement and care for them as people. And if we think that their life is just like our life, we're going to be wrong, right? We have no idea what they're struggling with, what they're going through. And so we have to remember God's perspective, God's value of them. Let's see. Which goes to our next point. Help campers prevent homesickness by being cheerful and by keeping them busy. Assist with recreational programs by coaching and refereeing. Encourage all to participate and give praise to the loser and to the one who is not so athletically inclined, as well as giving praise to the winner. On some occasions, counselors may participate in games, but in most cases should be facilitators and coaches. Right? That's going to depend upon your director and your activity, but we want you guys to be a part of this, and so you have plenty of time to be able to participate in games if you like. A Christian example at all times is indispensable. You may be the camper's pattern, the person they admire and want to be like someday. I think we've all had people that we've looked up to say, ah, that person has got it together, or that person's really got the passion and love, or whatever it is that I want to have in my life. Help me understand that and we are attracted to that. So as directors or counselors or whatever, teachers, we have an incredible ability, opportunity to teach them through our own spirits what a good life can look like in this. Enjoy your camping activities and love all your campers. Okay. Fire safety. Right now we're in stage one fire restrictions that could change by the time camp starts. Right now we are able to have fires in the fire pit, but that could change by the time camp starts. So your caretakers will know better, and we'll let the directors know too. All right. Sexual misconduct and abuse. Okay. Why do we need to talk about the subject of sexual misconduct? First and foremost, it's about protecting the children, right? The parents and guardians of campers have entrusted you and other staff members with the care of their children. And it is our responsibility to assure a safe and caring environment for each camper. Okay? Obviously, we don't want to be hurting children. But there are other reasons why we need to talk about this. One is we need to protect the camp from potential legal actions. Also, our reputation. Right? What are people going to... What people start associating some accusation or something that happens, maybe it's not even true, right? But then this is why we need to be within eyesight of other people, like at all times, when we're with somebody individually. We need to be within eyesight so that if there was an accusation, there are others that could say, no, I saw them, there was nothing going on. There's a giant stigma that comes with an accusation from somebody about somebody did something, and it may not be true, but just the accusation out there, we just want to stay away from that altogether. So we need to protect the children, our own reputation, and the camp. The camp's reputation. Really the future of the camp, because things like that are believed about people, even if they're not true, can be a huge disservice to future camps. Okay, why is it important to protect the reputation of the camp? How many lives will be touched by their camp experience this year? How would it be if we could touch 100 more lives this year? That's 100 more young individuals who would grow in Christ this year through Bible study and uplifting interactions with other camps, with others at camp. The growth of the camp has been constantly hindered by rumors and bed bugs, inadequate supervision, counselor interpersonal issues, inadequate medical attention, and other negative rumors, whether true or not. A sexual misconduct incident would have a devastating effect on the future of the camp and its ability to bless the lives of so many young people. I'm not going to get into all the different kinds of abuse. I mean, I'm just going to mention them. There's physical abuse where if you see somebody bruised, you know, like when they get to camp or maybe at camp, you need to tell the MA or the director or somebody. Let them know what you've noticed. Neglect, if they just feel like doesn't seem like they're being cared for at home, then maybe you can discuss that with the director of the MA. Emotional abuse or sexual abuse. Emotional abuse would be like depression, hostility, maybe eating disorders, a lack of emotion. Those could be things that you say, hey, I think this could be an issue, right? And then signs of sexual abuse. And this could come up in a variety of different ways. We're not going to get them all there, but if you have any questions, get a hold of your MA or your director. Let's see. If you suspect something, like somebody's being abused in some way, or has been abused in some way, let your director or MA know. Okay. Do not involve the child at this point in time. Aside from suspecting abuse, you may come to know a child is being abused because they tell you. Due to the nature of our work, we are often the first to discover or suspect abuse. During the time at camp, a child may come to trust you and feel that you are trustable. All right. So, if there's questions or thoughts on that, let somebody know. We're not. Do the best we can to, if there is an issue, to figure out what we can do from there. Okay. All right. If a child says something like, "I need to tell you something, but you can't tell anyone," right? I want to talk to you, but you need to promise you won't tell anyone. We can't make promises like that, all right? I think what we can say is something like, "I can't promise I won't tell anyone, but I care about you, and I'm very interested in what you want to tell me." Or what we talk about is just between you and me, unless you are going to hurt yourself or someone else, or someone else is hurting you, all right? We want to be honest and straightforward with the kids, but we also want them to understand that we really care about them and want the best for them. That's what's going to make it to the... that's what's going to help them open up, if there is an issue. Okay. And... Let's skip ahead to the who are the bullies and hazers. Okay. There's been a lot of anti-bullying social media and so forth discussions going on last few years. We want to make sure, we want to have enough of a feel for each of our campers that we can understand what's going on, if there is bullying. As a counselor, we need to be aware of the kids that may be left out or having a difficult time fitting in or making friends. We want to be bringing them into the fold. And sometimes, I think we've all been there where we just don't feel like part of the group, right? In some group, these are not my people or whatever. I'm just here because my parents told me I had to be here, right? And that's going to be a lot of the kids. So we really need to be bridging and spending quality time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but maybe a few minutes of just quality time or just with each individual as best as we can. Bullying usually occurs in times when counselors are not around, so this reinforces our camp policy that campers should always be supervised. When a counselor observes bullying of any kind, they must intervene by stepping in and separating the children involved, support the victim, and report any bullying to the camp director. Some basic rules on touching. Okay, do not touch a child where his or her bathing suit would be. I think this is a pretty good rule. And if you have any questions about that, don't touch it. All right. If a child recoils at a simple touch, boundaries need to be respected. Okay. So you got to be what we call sensory acuity, where you have enough sense to understand how my actions are causing them to react. Right? If they don't like anybody touching them at all, then we need to respect them. Okay? Give children side hugs. Okay? On the side. And ask before. All right? Now, if they come up and hug you, that's a different thing, but we just need to be conscious of how these things can be taken the wrong way, okay? Also, counselors are not supposed to be giving back rubs to each other or to the campers. Of course, no kissing. And there are going to be kids that just want to cling to you, all right? And sometimes we need to be conscious of that neediness and try to help them. I mean, part of camp is growing up and being more independent. Okay, so if there are kids that are needy in that way, we want to facilitate their personal growth or their inward strength, as it were. Rule number one, do not, if it's at all avoidable, go off with a child alone. Ensure that there are other staff members and campers in plain view. As staff supervise children, they should space themselves in a way that other staff can see them. And if they're doing something like they're changing into swimsuits or something, or changing, you need to be situating yourself in a place where you are, if there is misconduct, you can at least hear it. Okay. And that is about it that I have. I know there are other people that have been directors here before and may have something they want to add or modify. Is there anything you guys would like to add to any of this?
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Bigham. I'm one of the board members for Copper Basin Bible Camp. I'm also going to be the director of Combo Week. So some of you counselors that are here are going to be counseling in my week. So thank you all for coming, number one, and taking time out of your Saturday to be here. I'm looking forward to having you guys up at camp this summer. Let's make it really fun for the kids. I cannot stress to you how much of an impact that you all can have on the kids at camp. I had two kids that came up through Copper Basin Bible Camp from the time they were little. Now they're off to college. But camp was one of the most important things in their life every summer. It's one of the things that they look back on most fondly. It's one of the areas where people made the biggest impact on their Christianity, on the strength of their relationship with God. You cannot underestimate your impact on these kids. The conversations that you have amongst each other when you think nobody is listening, they're listening. Your enthusiasm that you show in the small groups, for example, when we break out after, say, a class, and we break into small groups, and you're helping guide discussions, you just cannot underestimate how important your participation is in these activities, what a positive impact you can have on these kids. You have no idea how it can affect them and those around them and their family that aren't even there at camp. And I could give you examples. I'm not going to right now, but if you just trust me. One of the reasons why we had to put all these slides about sexual misconduct and abuse is that as camp and church activities in general just happens to be one of these environments where these things can take place. I can tell you as a member of the Copper Basin Board, this is one of our most expensive expenses every year is our insurance for the camp, which covers things like fire and liability if someone slips and falls, but it also covers this. In fact, it's very hard for us to find insurance to cover the camp because of the potential for abuse and sexual misconduct. Now, we've never had anything like this occur at Copper Basin Bible Camp because we do this training and we emphasize it. Be very respectful and mindful of the way that you interact with the kids and with other campers. I can tell you this. One of the most common complaints that we receive following the camps to the board is about the counselors' relationships with one another. Oftentimes, it's with the opposite sex because it's about a boyfriend-girlfriend situation between counselors. I can't tell you how many complaints that the board receives about it because the counselors are in the cabin at night talking about their girlfriend, who's also another counselor up at camp, or not up at camp, or vice versa. And the kids are hearing this, and they're hearing you focus on something that you shouldn't be up at camp. That's not what camp is about. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend or somebody that you have a crush on, maybe up there, whatever. Let's not make the week about that. The week has got to be about the kids. They are the focus. Be mindful of your conversations, even when you think nobody is listening, because people are listening. And be enthusiastic. We're going to have a great week up at camp. And thank you all. I know this is volunteer now. We used to be in a position where we felt like we could pay counselors to be up there. We're just not in that situation anymore. And so we've made the decision that we're moving to a volunteer type of situation with counselors. So I appreciate the time that I know that some of you are having to take a week off of a part-time job in the summer or whatnot so that you can come up and be a counselor for us. And we appreciate that. It shows that you want to be there. It shows that you're dedicated to the church, and it shows that you want to help these kids grow in their spiritual life. So we really do appreciate that time, especially those of you who are going to be spending more than 1 week up there. I know it's you're giving up your own personal time, and we appreciate that so much. What else did I want to touch on? I think that's all I got. Is there anybody else that wants to? Did you want to have any comment? Anybody else? Any questions that I can answer while I'm here?
If at all possible, use the buddy system.
The buddy system, right. Yeah, and you know, a lot of times that falls on the director's responsibility. You know, I catch myself saying, hey, can you go bring Johnny to the nurse because, you know, hurt his wrist, and fell down and hurt his wrist. I should be saying, no, can you too go with Johnny to the nurse's office? But always, we want people to go in twos. I want there to be two counselors with every camper if you got to go off somewhere on the camp by yourself. Don't be alone with these kids. Be careful with that. Be very careful with your interactions. Thank you for that. Any other comments? Any other questions?
I think we're going to go over through some circumstances.
Okay.
And have a little discussion about
that. Okay, sounds good. Okay.
All right, so to bring this home a little bit, we're going to go through some circumstances, and I want your thoughts on how we should deal with these things, all right? Number one, we are playing a game. During the game, Camper Brittany sits on Counselor Joe's lap. How should Counselor Joe handle the situation? This is not an uncommon one, especially with little kids. What do you think? How should we handle something like that? Oh, okay. Royal, you're moving? Do you have an answer for that?
Oops.
Huh? Somebody. What do you think? What's an appropriate way to deal with it? Just tell them get off, okay.
They have a motive to try to sit on you, and you want to isolate what that is to try to get them off.
Okay. Okay. Did you hear that? A counselor could just stand up. That's going to solve the problem right there.
I would say depending on how old they are.
You can just have them, because like you said, little kids sometimes, you know. I remember when I went to camp, like, I would sit on people's laps, stuff like that, because you're like, you know, you're friends with them or whatever, and they're way older. But obviously, because of this stuff now, times have changed. I would just say, hey, you can come sit next to me, you know, try to give them an alternative solution. That way you're just not coming across as mean, I guess.
That's good. I like that. Okay. All right, let's look at another one. Camper Johnny gets sick in the middle of the night and is throwing up in the bathroom. Counselor Joe needs to assist Johnny. How should he best handle this situation? Nobody ever gets sick from the camp food, right? What do you do? Okay. Say that again.
Just call the EMA and have someone wake up another counselor and have someone walk down with you. So.
Okay. Yeah. If it looks serious, especially, depends upon, I think, you know, maybe they feel better afterwards is because they had a bad corn dog or whatever, you know. Maybe you don't need to wake up the EMA, but it's probably best to be safe and go at least inform the MA as to what's going on. Camper Brittany wants to have a private conversation with Counselor Shauna. How can we provide privacy for their conversation and still maintain our policy regarding campers and counselors being alone? Thank you, Tanner. Stay within eyesight of others. Counselor Joe notices a strange bruise on Johnny's leg. What should he do? What should we do? Put another bruise on his other leg so they match? Let me pick on you. Tell someone, okay.
Ask him if he's okay. Tell someone.
Okay. Tell someone. If it's strange, let the MA know. Maybe something happened at camp, he fell or something, and we know what happened, right? But even then, the MA should probably know about it. Let's see. Number seven. Camper Brittany tells Counselor Shauna that she is being abused at home. How should Shauna handle the situation? We definitely talked about this. Okay. Notify the see if they need to call the cops. Well, okay, that will be determined by maybe the counselor or the director or the MA. Yeah. Yeah, well, notify the notify the MA, and don't need to mention anything to the child themselves. Because if it is abuse or something, they may want to hide that or protect somebody or whatever. So, let's see. And I guess last but not least, maybe, is your camping. There might be bugs in the forest. Sometimes people are they don't like bugs, right? So we need to be calm, especially as counselors, and maybe help the situation by removing whatever the issue is, but also being conscious that there could be people that have maybe have a serious fear of these things too. So, so your attitude, your calmness, is very, very, very important. Are there any other situations that we can think about that? It's like, what do I do then? I'm not really familiar with that particular one, other than what it says here.
Let me just talk about it.
Okay, great.
This is pretty frequent.
Okay, so look at this picture. This is a bat bug, which looks almost identical to a bed bug. But we don't have any bed bugs. We've never had any bed bugs up at the camp. We have had bat bugs because we do have bats. I mean, the camp's in the forest. There's bats everywhere. We've tried to do the best we can to exclude the bats from the cabins by, you know, filling every crack, you know, under the eaves of the roof and around windows and doors and so forth, so that the bats don't want to roost up in there, because then these bugs crawl off of them and they get into the cabins. The good thing about bat bugs is that they do not carry the diseases of the bed bugs. So although it can be scary and they can still bite you and you can see a mark and it might itch, it does not transmit Lyme disease or any of the other things that you might think about bed bugs. However, if you do notice anybody with bites that could pretend, and you find any bugs that look like this, please alert the director. Because what we do want to do is go ahead and grab all of the kids' clothes and their bedding. We want to go toss them into the dryer up there, run that dryer for, you know, 45 minutes or so, and kill any bugs that could be in their clothing or in their bedding. And then, you know, help the kid reset up their bunk or whatever. And then just kind of, we want to wipe down the area where we saw any of these bugs at. Just grab some wipes, some Clorox wipes or something, and just kind of wipe everything down in that area, okay? But understand the difference between a bat bug and a bed bug, because what we don't want to do is start spreading rumors, oh my goodness, Copper Basin's got bed bugs, which would be a disaster. And that is, just so you know, bed bugs are becoming a bigger and bigger issue, even with hotels, but it's usually from international travelers that come in, they've got them in their suitcases, they open their suitcase in a hotel, and now the hotel becomes infested and it becomes a real issue. We generally treat the cabins every year using a heat system. We have one of the pest control places come up from Prescott. They put these heaters that are especially to kill these type of pests in the cabins, and they got to heat the cabin up to a certain degree, and then it kills everything off that might be a bat bug in there. So we've done that. We haven't actually, last year, we didn't have any issues with these bugs for the first time in a while. And part of that is that not only we excluded the cabins, but we also hung away from the cabin some places where the bats can make a home. And so we're trying to entice the bats to go out into the trees a little bit and away from the living quarters and the lodges and so forth. So.
All right. Well, that's all that I have for this training. If there's questions or thoughts that need to be addressed. Okay, Ryan? Thank you for your attendance.
All right, real quick, I want you to take, this is your 15-second commercial, okay? You are on camera, you're live, and you're about to be recorded. I want you to tell me something you really enjoy about the camp, what it did for you, okay? Make it personal. You got 15 to 30 seconds at the most, okay? So be quick. Think about it for a second. And I'll take volunteers, but I'm just going to let this go around. And you share it and share your story real quick. Okay?
I raised my hand because...
It's on.
It's on? Okay. So, I have a question that's separate from what you were saying. Unless if I wasn't listening to what you were saying because I was focused on the question that I was asked.
Okay.
So... What were you asking?
What's your story? What makes you want to be involved in camp? What did it mean for you? It could be any point, any positive point.
Ah, yes. So I had, I was going through a slightly tough time in 2018 at high school week, and all the counselors were just fantastic, and camp was great. And I wanted to come back next year as a counselor and do the same thing to others. So the question I have is, how will the check-in process be like? Is it going to be the same as usual for all the camps, or is it kind of like how the director tells everyone to set it up?
My process is pretty simple because my kids probably won't have cell phones, I assume, because I have little kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me personally, parents will drop their kids off. They'll bring their luggage with them. We'll walk them through the sign-up process very quickly just to check them in and make sure we have any... they'll check in with the med station, with the MA, to make sure if they have meds or they have any needs or concerns. And then the counselors will help guide them to the cabin. We're going to be in the same two cabins we were last year. Then they can help the student get settled. But then there is an open house time where parents are allowed to go make sure little Johnny has got everything set. And then we want the parents out of the cabins for the rest of the time. But I'm sure there's going to be a mom or a dad that wants to make sure the kiddo is, you know, settled. Because most of the Cub campers are going to be new, and so we want to make sure they have a good start to their experience. And then the counselors will be guiding them from that point forward. So that's pretty much it. It's very straightforward. It's not complicated. I collect Bible study materials over the course of a year so that when I have extra copies of things, I will lay them out and I will let parents take them. We, for Cub Camp, we require parents to be on camp, but they're not to be involved. They're to be there in case there's an emergency or meltdown because of a new camper experience, but we want them to enjoy themselves. Most parents have chosen to kind of relax. They have some quiet time, they have a cup of coffee, they enjoy the freedom of somebody else taking care of their kid for a couple days, you know, like grandparents, right? And so that's my experience. Now, I can't speak for the other directors. I would assume there's maybe a cell phone policy for some of them, because most kids will be bringing cell phones at the older grades, and you'll have to ask them, you know, what their particular policy would be. But mine's pretty simple.
Okay. I hope that applies to your question, David.
So for a little while, I hadn't been able to go to camp for obviously COVID and other reasons, but wanting to be a counselor this year was actually pretty nice before I actually start, you know, going out into the real world and getting my full-time job after I graduated college. So I do appreciate being able to be here one last time, at least.
My favorite part about going to camp is getting just to know more people and to spend more time and lead people closer to God.
Yeah, I agree. It's always an encouragement and a fun time to go to camp to sing praises and learn more about God and hang out with new cool friends.
I guess I've never really had a bad time at camp, and it's just a really enjoyable experience for everyone involved, and I kind of want to do that for other people and kids.
Well, I've never been, so I don't know what to expect, but I'm sure it's going to be wonderful, and all you guys make it sound great, so I'm excited to go this summer.
I guess from a director perspective, what I like seeing is as the week goes on, especially some of the kids that have more difficulties, some of the campers that have more difficulties, you can kind of see the layers of their defensiveness or whatever their issues are kind of peeling away. And you can really start to see what a good heart some of the kids that, you know, show up the first day, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be a kid that's going to cause some trouble here. You know, it's hard not to make those snap judgments. But a lot of times those are the kids just with hearts of gold, but you just can't understand the difficult circumstances that they're dealing with in their life. And once you're able to kind of penetrate through some of those defense mechanisms and you can really see, you know, who it is that's underneath that shell, I really like seeing that. And you know, what I remember about camp from when I was a kid is just we just would have so much fun. You know, it's just a lot of fun packed into a week, and you really get close to the other kids that are with you, the other counselors, if you're a counselor. It's a really good time to bond with others that have a like mind, that are Christians, people that you want to be around. So I really enjoy it for that reason. I got to tell a story. Last year we had a guy up there that was a counselor for the first time with us, and we were doing Tanner. What do we call it? It's balloon battleship. Oh. Yeah. So we divide the basketball court in half, you know, with sheets and. You have everybody sit on the opposite sides of the court, and then, you know, you load them up with water balloons, and then, you know, you do a barrage from one side to the other. And so this counselor was sitting on the other side of the basketball court in a golf cart, and he was from my congregation, so I can give him a hard time. So, and I was standing with his wife and my wife, who were up there, who were also staff members that year. And I took a balloon, and I threw it all the way across the basketball court, and it hit the top shield on the golf cart and just sprayed completely in his face. I couldn't have made the shot if I had tried 1,000 more times. I couldn't have hit it like that. And he had no idea where it came from. And so I always give him a hard time. But those are the kind of stories that you remember from camp, just little things that stick out, and just it's just a lot of fun.
So I've only been to camp once ever in my life. So this will kind of be a new experience as well, just like this gentleman over here. But I'm looking forward to it.
It's my first year at Copper Basin, so I'm just eager to see what this fun really is that everybody's talking about and the good things that we can do.
I love camp, and I've never been a counselor, but I'm really excited, and I always learn a lot of new things.
My favorite part would have to be the relationships I've made at camp. I've made so many more friends who have not only lasted longer, but are also a lot closer than anyone I ever met at school or anywhere else.
This will make my eighth year doing this, and have loved doing Cub Camp ever since. So I've seen the little Cub Campers now, they're in the high school, and seeing them grow so much. So
I remember the first time I went to camp, I was so scared, but all the counselors made me feel so welcome, and so I'm really glad that I might be able to do that for a camper this time.
He's related to two people that like camp, so I'll just take it that you like camp as well. Hey, good to talk with all of you. Thank you for sharing your story. Your story is one more piece in the puzzle that makes camp so wonderful. your role that you are playing this year, whether you are a director, whether you're a board member, or whether you're a counselor, whether you're a teacher, or whether you're going on a week that you're going to just enjoy being the camper. Your role is very, very important. And the thing that you add is yourself. The thing that you bring is your love for Christ and your love for each other. And so let me say thank you very much for sharing your stories. For those of you that have not gone yet, you're about to share your piece of that puzzle, and it makes a beautiful mosaic as we continue to build another great year. I'm going to have a Cub Camp counselor lead you in a particularly active song that you will have to be involved in. So I'm going to invite Royal and Jonathan up here. They're going to do the potato chip song. I am serious. I'll put the microphone right here. You got to stand up for this one. So we're going to end on a high note. And then I'm going to ask Carter if he'll close us in a word of prayer, assuming he has enough voice left to do that. And in the closing prayer, when we get to that point, you'll lead the prayer.